Bibles, and you would like to turn there. If not, it'll be up on the screen. Thank you. Would you turn to 1 Samuel chapter 16? 1 Samuel chapter 16. How many of you remember your first paid job? Okay. I'm going to give you the illustration of my first paid job. I was in high school. In fact, I was a sophomore in high school, and across the street from my house was a gas station. Great owner. I knew one of the other principals in the gas station. They knew I needed work, so they hired me. And minimum wage back in 1968... I'm old. Anybody want to take a guess what minimum wage was back then? $1.30. You were close. $1.30 an hour. So here was my job description. I had to clean the tools every night, make sure they were in the right place. We had a junkyard dog, a German Shepherd, who was trained, by the way, to attack without barking. Okay? I was to feed him and clean up after him, okay? I don't want to get gross before lunch. I was also required by the owner to start to learn some simple mechanics, how to do some tune-ups and that type of thing. Because in the state of New Jersey, you had to be, I think it was 17, to operate the gas pumps. So that was to come. Now, maybe you had this experience. I got my first paycheck. I figured, man, I'm going to be rich. I was working part-time, of course, because of school. And I think I was working anywhere between 25 to 30 hours a week. And I opened my paycheck. I was expecting, you know, 40-something dollars, whatever it was. And I discovered quickly I worked for Uncle Sam. I said, where did all the money go? Right? You remember that? All right. Where'd all the money go? That's life, right? But the reason why I'm telling you this story is because as the owner of the gas station saw that he can entrust me with the little things, the washing of the tools, putting them back in place, the cleaning up after the dog, feeding the dog, learning, you know, some simple mechanics, he then promoted me to the next thing. And then as he saw I could handle that, he promoted me to the next thing. It was really neat to see. My parents passed away when I was a senior in high school. And at that point, he put me almost in a manager's spot and decided to pay me $4 an hour, which was big money back then. That was big money back then. And that was in 1970 when the minimum wage was $1.45 an hour. All right. I looked this up, by the way, so I'm not just trusting my memory. Right? The point I'm trying to make is that the owner saw that I could handle the little things, and then he trained me and empowered me to do the bigger things. I want to suggest to you that if you're a Christ follower, that you've been chosen by God, and you're being empowered by God to do great things. Now, I talk to a lot of young people these days, and sometimes, not all of them, some of them think they're when they graduate high school, even graduate college, they're going to walk in and make $80,000 a year. Yeah, Tommy just said, God bless you. Doesn't work that way. In the real world, you know, you get paid for your work. I mean, there's no question about it. But your employer has to see you're faithful with the little things before you can be trusted with the big things. This is a principle God has always worked on. This is a principle of how he grows us. This is a principle of how he wants to train us. I want to tell you this morning that if you have come to know Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you've been chosen by God and you've been empowered by him to do ministry. Now, he may not start you off big. He may not start you off big. He may not start you off as a preacher. Not that that's big shakes, but he may not start you off as a preacher. He may not start you off as a Sunday school teacher, but he may start you off cleaning the facility. He may start you off providing meals. And there's a number of ways. We're going to talk about that in a little bit. I don't want to lose this point. When God chose us, he didn't chose us because we were anything great. In fact, we're nothing. We have nothing to offer him. He chose us because he loves us, solely on his love. Not because I'm bright or not bright, not because I may be talented in one area. And he didn't. That doesn't matter. He simply chose us because he loves us. But he doesn't choose us so we can just sit in a seat. Can I say that again? He doesn't choose us so we can just sit in a seat. He chooses us to do the work that he has ordained for us. In fact, we often quote as evangelicals Ephesians 2, 8, 9. Do you remember what that verse is? For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, not by works. Remember the next half of that? It's a gift of God, so no one can boast. The verse after that says, and you were saved for his work that he preordained for you. So everybody here who knows Christ as personal Lord and Savior was chosen by the love of God and empowered by the Spirit of God to do something for the kingdom of God. Look at this passage with me. There's some great truths here that we have to realize, okay? The first couple of verses in this are tough. There's no question about it. It's caused arguments among theologians for a lot of years. I'll give you my opinion on it. You can take it or leave it, but here we go. You ready? Now, the Spirit of the Lord had departed from Saul, King Saul, because Saul was in open rebellion against God by this point. And an evil spirit from the Lord tormented him. That has bothered a lot of people. And the reason why it's bothered a lot of people, because we know as we put other parts of Scripture together, God is not the author of evil. All right? God cannot author evil. It's against his character. All right? What I believe the author meant here is simply this, that God in his sovereign will permitted an evil spirit to come upon Saul. The first thing you and I have to do is embrace God's sovereignty. You know what sovereignty is? His will. His will. Sometimes his will doesn't make sense to me, but it's still his will. Sometimes I spend too much time trying to figure out his will and trying to change his mind. But here's the principle I think God wants us to see here. When we back off from our walk with Christ, when we back off from reading the scriptures, when we back off from prayer, when we back off from walking in the power of the Spirit and worship, we leave a vacuum. We leave a spiritual vacuum. And you know who wants to fill that vacuum? Evil. Evil. There's the proverb that says, idle hands are what? The devil's workshop. I think the author knew what he was talking about, because when we back off from our spiritual life, something's going to fill that void, and it's usually not something good. Can we agree on that? We probably have all been there one time or another. We need to embrace God's sovereignty. God chose to permit this in the life of Saul, I believe because he's disciplining Saul at this point. And Saul's attendant said to him, see, an evil spirit from the Lord is tormenting you. Let our Lord command his servant here to search for somebody who can play the lyra. I thought it was very interesting that they're turning to music. Now, this isn't in the Bible, but you've heard it said, music soothes the savage beast. This is exactly what Saul was turning into. He was turning into a beast. Okay? And they're turning to music. He will play when the evil spirit from the Lord comes up on you and you will feel better. So Saul had said to his attendants, find someone who plays well and bring him to me. Now, Saul basically now knows he's a king on borrowed time, if I can put it that way. God has taken the kingdom away from me. God already told me he was going to appoint another, David. Okay? So they search. And who do they come up with? One of the servants answered, I have seen a son of Jesse of Bethlehem who knows how to play the lyre. He is a brave man and a warrior. He speaks well and he's a fine looking man and the Lord is with him. How would you like to have that on your resume? Right? What impressive. And again, not because David was anything special, but simply because he chose to walk in submission to the Lord by faith. God built his character as a shepherd. Who did he have to battle when he tended the sheep? A lion? Wolves? Any bears, predators? He did it bravely, right? I mean, God was training him, even in the field, to become a shepherd of a nation, people. So at a very young age, here's David's resume. He's a brave man, a warrior. He speaks well and is a fine-looking man. Do you remember what Saul did when conflict happens? He hid. He was hiding among the baggage. He kind of wanted to blend into the background. We need to embrace God's sovereignty. You can see God's fingerprint all over this. So look what happens. Then Saul sent messengers to Jesse and said, send me your son David, who is with the sheep. Should underline that, who is with the sheep. David was just doing his job at this point. He knew he was the king elect. God told him already. And he didn't rush to the throne. He didn't take it on his own and say, I'm going to kill Saul and get him out of here. He didn't proclaim victory after the election by God. He simply went back to his work until it was God's time for him to take over. So Jesse took a donkey loaded with bread, a skin of wine, and a young goat and sent them with his son David to Saul. I want you to catch this a little bit. This speaks to David's character. You're the king elect. You know Saul's crazy, right? And you're going to play for him? How would you feel? Once he found out who David is, do you think David had a right to be afraid? He absolutely did. Yet he went. David, this is his first task that God gave him. It was a difficult task, but it was a small, relatively small task. I want you to go and use your talent, your music, to calm Saul when the evil spirit comes upon him. Now, I don't have a whole lot of experience with deep demon possession. I believe in my lifetime I met two people who were demon possessed. But even if somebody is being tormented by demons from the outside, not from the inside, it's a bizarre experience. Really is a bizarre experience. I was with somebody whose whole face changed. It goes beyond description. And then that's when you know something is happening. But David goes. David, a shepherd. And being a shepherd in that culture was one step above being a woman, by the way. And I don't say that negatively, it's just the way the culture was. Women were not respected, they were treated as property. Shepherds were one step above that. But he was a faithful shepherd. He was a good shepherd. He was faithful to that. Now God says, I'm going to graduate you, David. Going to give you a little bit more difficult task here, but only one task at this point. So he reports. David came to Saul and entered his service. What humility. The king-elect serving the king. Saul liked him very much, liked him very much at first, by the way, and David became one of his armor bearers. Then Saul sent word to Jesse, saying, "Allow David to remain in my service, for I am pleased with him." Whenever the Spirit of God, whenever the Spirit from God came on Saul, David would take up the lyre and play. Then relief would come to Saul. He would feel better, and the evil spirit would leave him. The second truth here I think we have to embrace is that we need to be faithful to God in the everyday little things. In the everyday little things. You have no idea how, I talk to a lot of people during the course of a week, and I'm sure you do too. How you doing? Same old thing. How you doing? Don't ask. All right, I won't ask. Yeah. How you doing? If you only knew. God knows. He knows. But if we're not faithful in the everyday things, he's not going to put us to the next level. I made a brief list of everyday things, okay? Don't throw things at me, okay? You and I need to be faithful with the use of our time. Time's one of those things, once it's wasted, we can't get it back. True? It's gone, right? You and I need to be faithful with our talents and our spiritual gifts. You saw people up here today, people serving even before that, using their talents and gifts for the glory of God. We need to be faithful to those things. We need to be faithful with whatever income God gives to us. Listen, that's where we start. But now I'm going to get more specific. We need to be faithful in our marriages. For those of us who are married. Faithful. I'm not just talking about sexual fidelity. I'm talking about doing whatever we can to cultivate that marriage, to bring husband and wife closer to one another as they both grow closer to Christ. That takes work. But if we're not faithful in our marriage, we have no ministry for those of us who are married. This starts in homes. We need to be faithful in marriage. We need to be faithful in our relationships with children. One of the biggest problems today are broken promises. Children know that. Most children are very forgiving. We need to be good moms and good dads, godly moms, godly dads, modeling Christ in the home. I need to emphasize that. Modeling Christ in the home. Employment. Everyone I meet thinks they should make more money. All right, for those of you who are employed, any of you, would any of you say, I make enough? Or I'm paid too much? No, everybody thinks they should make more money. Listen to me. Every one of us here has probably worked a job that didn't pay a whole lot. But God uses that, I believe, to see that even though we're unhappy with the salary, or we're happy unhappy with the circumstances, will we be faithful in doing a good day's work for the day's pay? Will we be faithful in that? This is where the rubber meets the road. Commitments and promises made to friends and ministries. We need to glorify God in those things. All right, young people. Sometimes older people too. Excellence in school. Report cards came out. I know that. I have 2 grandkids. Excellence in school. If you're in school, your job is to do the best you can in school. Not everybody's an A student. But you need to put the effort forward, because if God sees you're doing that, he's going to bless it. What about our driving habits? How many times this week were you told you're number one?
On a daily basis.
Let me bring that question around. How many times this week have you told somebody they were number one? Some of you have a guilty look on your face. Our driving habits. Our self-care. If you don't care for yourself in a healthy way, nobody else will do that. We are responsible. This is the temple of God. The Holy Spirit lives in me. He lives in you. And we're called to have self-care. Showing respect to others. How do we do this week on that? It's easy to show respect to people you like. It's quite a different thing to show respect to people that you're not real fond of. That was only a list of 11 items. I could go on. You could probably go on. But here's the principle. We are chosen by God and empowered by God. And as we're faithful in the normal, everyday things of life, he'll empower us to take that next step. And if we're faithful to that next step, he'll empower us to do the next thing, and then the next thing, and then the next thing. The third truth I see here is we need to submit to the Holy Spirit in everything we do. In everything we do. You and I, in our old sinful nature that we battle with every day, you and I don't want to do the right thing. It's only the Holy Spirit that can help us, give us the desire, empower us to do the right thing. We need to be guided by the Word of God and empowered by the Spirit of God to do the things that we know are right in God's eyes. And we need to be faithful to what God calls us to do. Doesn't matter what it is, decorating the church, usher, greeter, being a parent. I mean, we can go on and on. It doesn't matter. We need to be faithful. Do you know one of the biggest concerns in the American church is the issue of commitment? Not only in marriages, not only in parent-child relationships, but in churches. Churches, for all intents and purposes, are volunteer organizations. Right? And this is where it gets a little bit sticky, because we have this thing in our head, even in the church culture sometimes, that if I'm getting paid to do something, then I'll show up and do it. If I don't get paid, well, I'll give you whatever I can. I want to suggest to you that if God calls you to do something, it doesn't matter whether you get paid or not. We're called to give the best we have to glorify his name, not ours. Commitment is a big issue. 20% of the people in most churches do 80% of the work. That's the truth. I'm glad it's different here, but we got to keep it different. 20% of the people do 80% of the work. And so we need to be faithful to what God calls us to do. We also need to remember it's a constant journey and a continuous journey. I'm going to tread on dangerous ground here. The Bible knows nothing of retirement. Now, I'm not talking about retiring from jobs. I'm talking about retiring from ministry. The Bible knows nothing of that. The Bible says as long as God empowers you, calls you, and equips you, guess what? I don't care if you're 90 years old. You need to be faithful to that call. I want to leave you with one last thought. God calls ordinary people, ordinary, regular people, to do extraordinary things if we do it his way, if we yield to him. He'll do that. One sidebar here, if you allow me. Unfortunately, some years ago, not too long ago, but I'm getting older, so it seems like some years ago, when in the particularly the evangelical and the fundamental churches in America, there was kind of a renewal of music, right? God was using people like Darlene Check and Hillsong and Tomlin and some Matt Redman and some of the other ones, writing good stuff. Not all of it is good, but good stuff. Biblical stuff. And the church was saying, hey, this is good. And a lot of the leadership in the church said, no, it's bad. And it caused a war. A senseless, needless war. My Bible says God does something new every day. Right? Does your Bible say that too? Do you realize, and I love the hymns. Please, don't walk out here saying that I don't love the hymns. I do. But do you realize that at one time, A Mighty Fortress Is Our God was a new song? Not only was it a new song, but it was a bar song. The melody was from a bar. And they simply took a song that a lot of people knew and put great words to it. We get caught up in all this stuff. I happen to believe, and I think the Bible bears this out, that music is one of the greatest gifts God gives to us. In a small church, you and I are able to enjoy the giftedness of people who can sing and play. Isn't that great? I don't care if you don't like to sing it. Now, you better get used to it, because you know what you're going to be doing in heaven? You're going to be singing. Whether you like it or not, you're going to be singing. And you're going to do it on key. And you're going to do it in tempo, which makes Sharon happy, because when she gets the cantata together, she's going to be ecstatic that she doesn't have to stop and say, tenors, you're singing the altos part, and bass, you're singing the tenors part. No, it's all going to be there. It's all going to be there. Remember before I said that when we choose to step back from our spiritual walk, something else is going to fill that void. If you feel yourself doing that, let me recommend to you that rather than living in that state and running the risk of evil trying to call you and influence you, put on some Christian music. I don't care if it's the hymns, the new stuff. Let God minister to your heart, just like David ministered to Saul. Put on Christian music, then open your Bibles, and then see how much God loves you. That will never change. I don't care how bad you and I screw up, He'll never stop loving us. See how much God loves you, and He loves you in spite of yourself. He loves me in spite of myself. That will never change. See some of the wonderful promises of the Bible. Because when you can come to the Bible and say, this promise is guaranteed for me, and they are, we'll talk a little bit more about that next week, they are. They know what the natural inclination ought to be. We ought to be shouting to the Lord. Shout to the Lord, all the earth. Shout to the Lord. Because you've been chosen because He loves you, and you've been empowered by Him to be faithful and bring glory to Him in everyday little things so that He can prepare us for the next thing. Can you leave here today with that truth?